Okay, thank you, Yoni, for making this happen. Thank you to everyone for coming out. And this morning, we were learning, my shiur in the morning, we were learning the writings of the Piyazetz and the Rebbe, the Sefer Tzav Viziris. And this morning, we were learning Os Yud Gimel. And the Piyazetz and the Rebbe, Hashem Yinkom Damo, Hashem should avenge his blood, is killed at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, the Eish Kodesh, the Warsaw Ghetto Rav. He was describing how sad it is when a Jew needs to try to prove something that should be very obvious. And he was talking specifically about how a person might want to try to understand God with all sorts of rational and logical proofs, and how that has a place, and there's many great Svarim that have been written about that. Classic works of Jewish philosophy, newer Svarim, written trying to prove to us, how do we know God exists? Do we know? Are we confident? Can I explain it? Could I prove it? And a lot has been written about that. The Rambam wrote a whole work, Mora Nevuchim, to guide people who are feeling lost and perplexed, to help us figure out this truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Piyazetz HaRebbe says it's a very sad thing when you have to try to prove something which should be such a davar yadua, such an obvious and simplistic reality. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu of course exists. How sad it is if I have to prove it based on logic and rational proofs, by even looking at Hashem's beautiful world and saying, this proves there must be a God. If I can't look inside myself, if I can't look at my own neshama, and identify that there's a God in this world, then something's a little bit off. And a little bit I feel the same way, as excited as I am to talk about this topic, I feel the same way about this topic. We're talking about something that should be very obvious to all of us. Now the reason we're talking about it is because unfortunately we get busy with our lives and we don't think about it enough. Right? But the reality that every Jew is infinitely holy and that every Jewish soul is infinitely deep is something that should be so basic, should be so obvious. To be able to look at any and every Jew, whether they're a lot like you or not so much like you, and to be able to say, it's so obvious that I'm looking at a piece of the divine. I'm looking at an expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. To be able to say, Mika Amchi Yisrael, it shouldn't take a lot of proofs or Ma'amari Chazal, statements of our sages. It shouldn't take inspiring stories to convince ourselves of this truth. If we've ever really met a Jew and we've looked deeply into our own souls and the souls of others, it's very obvious that every Jew has an infinite value, which is the title of tonight's shiur. I'm sure some of us are reading the Rebbetzin Machlis biography. And if you haven't, you should get started. On page 271, her daughter Batsheva said, "My mother always said you should be a good person, and you could get a degree if you want. You should be a good person, you could also get a degree if you want. You're not worthy because you have a profession. You are worthy because you are worthy. You are worthy because you're a Jew and a neshama." Notice she didn't say you have a neshama, she says you are a neshama. Some people feel that if they accomplish something, then they're worthy. But that was not my mother's approach. She felt that just because you're in this world and you are a Jewish neshama, you are worthy. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursi, or Avram Yeshua Tursi, always points out. He says, we make a mistake the way that we speak. We say, I have a neshama. I'm a body and I have a neshama. He says, that's not true. You are a neshama. You have a body. But your essence, who you are, is you're a neshama. And the fact that you're a neshama really should allow us to wrap up this shiur very, very quickly tonight. And there's a lot of good stuff in the back. There's good treats. I see some donuts. Are they par of those donuts, by any chance? No, okay. Anyone eligible for the donuts? There's a lot of other good free gear. We shouldn't have to say very much to explore tonight's topic, the infinite value of every Jew. I think in two psukim, we can finish the whole thing. What two psukim? You open up the Chumash at the beginning of the Torah. Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'Adam Ofer Min Ha'Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took every human being. Adam HaRishon was taken from the dirt. Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. And Hashem blew into Adam HaRishon a spirit of life. Vayihi Ha'Adam LeNafesh Chaya. And man became a living spirit, Rashi says, Uncle says, a speaking spirit. Now of course this pasuk is talking about Adam HaRishon, which means it's talking about all of humanity. It's not only talking about Jews. And Tosfos points out, in a different context, in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, Tosfos says that whenever we see the word Ha'adam, it refers not only to the Jewish people, but the nations of the world. So the pasuk here says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Ha'adam Nefesh Chaya, which means that every human being has some degree of soul, as opposed to the word Adam without the Hey. Adam specifically, but Metzia Daf Kof Yudalid, Gemara in Yevamos specifically refers to Jews. So here, there's no question this is a universal concept, a soul being given to mankind. But you read this pasuk and you sense that while it's talking about Adam, it's talking about all human beings. Right? On the level of our of Jewish identity, we feel that the level of neshama, the level of depth of who we are, without saying that, God forbid, to disgrace the world or to look scornfully at the world, but to look in an elevated way at ourselves, to be able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into me a spirit of His own life. Listen to the words of the Baal HaTanya at the end of the first parak of Tanya and the beginning of the second parak. The Baal HaTanya talks about how man has two souls. The first soul that all human beings have, Nefesh Achas Mitzad HaKlipa V'Sitra Ach. The first soul makes you alive. It makes you more alive than a plant. It makes you more alive than an animal. And it's Mislabeshes Bidama Adam L'Chayos HaGuf. It's a part, it's a living spirit that sustains your body. And every person has that. And that already gives a person a certain elevation. Ki nefesh habasar bedami. The nefesh basar is found in the blood. Within man's flesh and blood, there's a nefesh, there's a soul. But that's the lower level soul. Says the Tanya at the beginning of the second parak. V'nefesh hasheinis v'Yisrael. And here's our second pasuk for the evening, which again really could wrap up the entire shir. You have the pasuk in Bereishis, parak beis, pasuk zayin, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. And the Baal HaTanya says, "V'nefesh hasheinis b'Yisrael, hichelek eloka mima'al mamish." Paraphrasing the pasuk in Iyov, "Achelek eloka mima'al," a spark, a piece of the divine, achelek, a piece of eloka, of godliness, mima'al, from on high. And the Baal HaTanya says, "Mamish," that's real. That's real. It's not a mashal that we're created in some abstract, esoteric way in the divine image. That every one of us carries a piece of a Kodesh Baruch Hu inside of ourselves. So we understand right away what Rebbe Tzimachlis was talking about. You don't have to do more than that. If your body is carrying a piece of a Kodesh Baruch Hu inside of you, you don't really have to do much more to earn an infinite worth, an infinite value. Because if you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu inside of you, then that's it. Says the Baal HaTanya, V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. He quotes our pasuk specifically about Klal Yisrael. Va'ata nafachtabi, like we say in Elokai Neshama in the morning. Va'ata nafachtabi, Hashem, you blew some of yourself into me. Like it says, he quotes from the Zohar, early Kabbalistic sources. It's not in the Zohar, it's actually in the Sefer Arkana. Man din nafach mitoche nafach. That one who blows from within. That means if Hashem blew a spirit of life into us, He gave some of His inner essence into us. Perish mitochiyuso, uipnimiyuso. We're walking around with HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of ourselves. Shetochis upnimis hachiyus sheba adam, motze binafichaso bekoach. That when someone blows with great energy, He gives over His life force, He gives over His own breath. Hashem gave some of His life to us. And that's true about every single Jew. And we shouldn't need to prove anything more, again, in trying to describe the greatness of the Jew. So why do we have tonight's shir? So what are we learning about? Why did Yoni invite me to come talk about it? We could wrap up at this point and we could find out about all the great summer programming for Yacha. I think the reason we need to talk about it is because as much as we get it, we don't really get it. And certainly the world doesn't get it. I'll tell you an amazing story. It goes back about 100 years when Jews were coming over, many people were coming over. It's a hot topic in the news today, of immigrants coming to America. And there were Jews coming to Ellis Island. It happens to be that by many Hasidim, it's still true, it certainly was once even more true, that by many Hasidim, especially by the great Rebbeisha families, by the great Hasidic dynasties, there was a practice to keep it in the family. That people would very often marry cousins, first cousins, second cousins, and very often you would have families being formed by people who had the very same last name. So a husband and wife, they come to Ellis Island. Chernobler Hasidim, the famed Twersky family. Happens to be by the Chernobler Hasidim Befrat. They were very into marrying within amongst themselves. So a husband and wife, they arrive at the desk, at the clerk, and he says to the husband, he says to the young man, he says, "What's your name? What's your family name?" So he says, "Twersky." So he turns to the woman, turns to his wife, and says, "Tell me, ma'am, what's your maiden name?" So she says, "Twersky." Tversky, Tversky. Maybe they don't understand. These Jews don't speak English very well. So he turns back to the man and he says, mother's maiden name. So he says, Tversky. Tversky, Tversky, Tversky. Turns to the woman. Turns back to the woman. Turns back to the woman and says, mother's maiden name. Tversky. So now the guy's all upset. He's very frustrated. There's people waiting online. He's got to process all these people. These people don't understand. He calls over his supervisor. And pointing to these Jews, who he clearly doesn't like very much, he says, these people clearly don't understand English. To which the young man, this young Hasidish man, turns back to the supervisor. And he says, apparently, your fellow doesn't understand Tversky. I understand English. But apparently, you don't understand Tversky. What's the pshat in this story, you don't understand Tversky? What does it mean the world doesn't understand Tversky? Right? The world doesn't understand the Jewish people. The world doesn't understand the depth of the Jewish people. The world doesn't understand Tversky, 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 Tversky. It doesn't understand what we're all about. And they think that we don't get it. They look at us and they say, you Jews, you're living on a different plane of existence. But the reality is that they don't get it. And the world's not going to get it until Mashiach comes. The world's not going to fall madly in love with Klal Yisrael. That's the reality that Hashem has set up the world. Halacha, Esav Sonei Es Yaakov. There's going to be anti-Semitism until the end. But we also don't get it. We also don't fully get it. And that's why we need to talk and we need to remind ourselves once in a while just how great we really are. To remind ourselves the depth of what a Jew really is. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to say, that if you stop a person in the street and you try to ask a person in the street, what is it that makes a Jew so great? They won't really understand the secret of the Jew. They won't really understand the depth of a Jew. The Baal Shem Tov's grandson, Rav Baruch HaMezhvish, said, not to argue on my grandfather, but Rav Baruch HaMezhvish says, Va'ani Omer, not like my grandfather who said the world doesn't understand the Jews, Va'ani Omer, Shegam LeYehudi E'efshar LaHasbir Maze Yehudi. You can't even explain to a Jew what a Jew is. We can't even understand the depth of ourselves. But that's why we need to talk about it once in a while, to try to understand a little bit, on whatever level we can understand. To try to understand that the simplest, smallest Jew, if we could say such a thing, is filled with an unbelievable depth. Carries a chelek eloka mima'al mamish inside of himself or herself. And that gives us that infinite value that we're talking about. The Baal Shem Tov pointed out, he said, Jews are compared to stars. In what way are the Jewish people compared to the stars? You look up at a starry night, not so much in New York City, but you go up north a little bit, right? And you're out in an open field on a summer night, and you're looking up, and you see the stars, and it's a beautiful display of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. And you look at the stars, and there's these tiny little lights somewhere off in the distance. Now, of course, we understand and we know that that little flicker in the sky, that little dot of light in the sky, is actually not very little at all. It's a massive ball of light, of gas, whatever stars exactly are made up of. The only reason it seems so small to our eye from down below is that we're so far from it. We haven't really drawn close to it to understand its essence. So Baal Shem Tov said that when the Jewish people are compared to stars, when Klal Yisrael are compared to the stars, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, go outside and look up at the stars, Ko Yazaracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avram, sometimes people are going to look at the Jewish people and think they're the smallest of nations. Not just in number. The smallest in quality, in content. And yet if you just draw close to a Jew, if you study the neshama of a Jew, if you study the essence of a Jew, immediately you see that a Jew is infinitely deep. Endlessly deep. For Freifeld, or Shlomo Freifeld, was sitting one time with Rav Amos Bunim. They were sitting on a bench, and they saw a young man. You have to understand, when Rav Freifeld started the Shar Yashiv Yeshiva, right, he was taking American kids who otherwise would have been going to public school. It wasn't a white shirt, black pants, black hat kind of place. Right, a little payas behind the ear. It was torn jeans and Grateful Dead t-shirts. So one time, Rav Freifeld was sitting on a bench, and he's sitting with Rav Amos Bunim, and he points to this young man. He says, you see that boy over there? So Rav Bunim says to him, he says, oh, the one with the ponytail? He says, no, you see him? Do you see that boy over there on the bench? You see the boy on the bench over there? So he said, which one? The one with like the ripped jeans and the t-shirt? So he says, no, do you see him? Do you see the... So he says, which one are you talking about? He seems to be pointing to the same person. So Rav Freifeld said, don't see his ponytail. Don't see his ripped jeans. See who he is. See his neshama. See the chelek alokam imal that he's made up of. See the vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim that he carries inside of himself. to realize that the smallest Jew, the only reason he looks small sometimes, the reason this Jew looks limited, is because we don't yet understand the secret of the Jew. We haven't uncovered the depth of this Jew. And that's what Rav Baruch HaMezrich was saying. The Baal Shem Tov said that a person in the street can't understand the Jew. A Jew doesn't even understand the Jew. How much do we understand about our own neshama, our own depth, our own value? We can't even begin to understand what a Jew is worth. The Chose of Lublin, the Seer of Lublin, it's brought in the Sefer Avnei Zikaron, explain that if you take every letter of the Sefer Torah and you start to erase it, let's say you take the letter Aleph, and you erase part of the Aleph, it's going to apostle the Sefer Torah. The letter is damaged, and the Sefer Torah is ruined. There's one letter, says the Chose of Lublin, no matter how much you erase it, even if you erase 99.9% of it, it's still there. What letter is that? The letter Yud. The letter Yud is really a dot. If I took a pen and I put a dot on a piece of paper and I held it up, I said, what letter is this? Of the 22 letters of the Aleph phase, which letter is it? You're not going to say it's a Vav. You're not going to say it's a Kuf. You're not going to say it's a Dalet. Right? That little dot, I guess it could be a Yud. The starting point of every letter, the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the starting point of every letter, all of the letters of the Aleph phase, the second the Sofer takes his ink and his reed and he touches down upon the Klaf, he's made the letter Yud. And no matter how small you cut it, no matter how much you erase of it, as long as there's still a tiny dot there, it's still the letter Yud. Explain the Chose of Lublin. A Jew is called a Yud, a Yehudi, a Yid. You take a Jew, and you start to erase a little bit, you erase a little more, you erase a little more, you're not seeing much. The whole picture of what this letter is supposed to be is not on display, it's not able to be seen. But no matter how much you erase, no matter how much is missing, no matter how much is taken away, if even the smallest piece remains, that smallest piece is still a Yud. It's still a Yehudi. And again, every Jew is infinitely deep. The first Ger Rebbe, the Chidush HaArim, that was the grandfather of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes' own father passed away at a young age. And the Sfas Emes was raised by his grandfather. Ger Chassidim was the biggest Chassidus in Poland prior to World War II. So this last Emes writes something very deep in Parshas Naso. Tanai Tizyarte, the 5th of Shvat. Listen to what he writes. Toras Hashem Tamima. Toras Hashem Tamima. Hashem's Torah is perfect, is complete. What does that mean, Toras Hashem Tamima? So we would say, Pashat Pshat, Toras Hashem Tamima. Hashem's Torah is complete. Hashem's Torah is wholesome. Hashem's Torah contains everything, all of the wisdom of the world. Hashem's Torah is like a map. You could find everything in the Torah. Okay, Stachu Baraisu Bara Alma, Hashem looked in the Torah, created the world, the Torah has everything in it. But it's deeper than that. The Sfas Emes writes, Perish, Tmima Shleimus. Hashem's Torah is perfect. In what sense is Hashem's Torah perfect? Sheyesh Bechol Os Hakol. Every single letter of the Torah contains within it the entirety of the Torah. It's not that when you add up all the parts, you look at the entirety of the Torah and you say, Torah Hashem Tamima. Now Hashem, when I take all the pieces and I put it all together, then I get a complete picture. Says the Sfas Emes, no. Sheish bechol os hakol. Every single letter has within it the entire thing. V'lachin ein muktam mu'uchar betorah ki hu achdus belokei echad. Says the Sfas Emes, that's why we have a rule, again, not all Rishonim agree to it, but Chazal seem to have such an approach, that ein muktam mu'uchar betorah. That the Torah is not necessarily presenting itself in a chronological order. Sometimes we read Pesukim out of order. This story took place before that story or after that story. The reason we can move the pieces around like that because every letter contains within it every bit of Torah. So if you understand that a Jew is like a letter, and if you understand even more like the Chose of Lublin said, that a Yud, a Yehudi, a Yid, is like that letter that can never be erased, that means every Jew maintains his connection to his essential self. But his essential self contains what? Contains within it kol Torah kula. It means it contains all of the elokus, all of the godliness in the world. That's found in every single letter of every single Jewish soul. Every single Jew corresponds to a letter of the Torah. But again, our essential letter, the starting point of every letter, when the sofer touches down with his ink upon the parchment, right? He's writing the letter Yud. And therefore, every Jew is an entire Torah. Mamash, a complete sefer Torah. The Chassam Sofer one time saw someone was standing in the Beis Medrash. Chassam Sofer had many sons, each one was a Gadol B'Torah. The second son of the Chassam Sofer was Rav Shimon Sofer, the Michtav Sofer. The Chassam Sofer walked into the Beis Medrash one time, his son was a young man. The Michtav Sofer, Rav Shimon Sofer, second son of Rav Moshe Sofer, and he saw that one of his friends was leaning on him. He was like standing behind him, like leaning over. Maybe they were looking at a Torah source together or something. He was leaning on his son. And the Chassam Sofer said, don't lean on Shimon Sofer. Don't lean on Shimon Sofer. And if you'll say, I'm telling you not to lean on my son because my son, that's not the reason. You can't lean on a Jew. The same way it would be inappropriate for a person to take a Sefer Torah, right, and to like rest your elbow upon it. You can't lean on a Jew. You can't use a Jew in that kind of way. Now, I'm sure Shimon Sofer didn't mind, and I'm sure he was happy to support his friend, that he should lean on him. But you can't lean on, he said, if you lean on my son, it's not because he's my son. It's because every Jew is hektish, every Jew is sacred, and therefore, if you take advantage, if you use it in a way that's a little bit disrespectful, it's a concern for me'ilah. It's a misuse of sacred material. You wouldn't do that to a Sefer Torah. Don't do that to my child. Every Jew, every human being, every Jew is a Sefer Torah, neshama, a letter, the Yud, that can't be erased. Every single Jew is a Sefer Torah. The Avos Yisrael of Vizhnitz. It wasn't by chance that he was called the Avos Yisrael. His name was Yisrael. His first name wasn't Avos. He earned that name through his unbelievable love for Klal Yisrael. The Vizhnitz Rebbe lived in the late 1800s, early part of the 1900s. He was traveling once by train. Second Vizhnitz Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Hager. He's traveling by train from one city to another city. And people, throngs of people are coming out to greet him, to Akabel, this great tzaddik. Men, women, children. He pulls into one train station. And he gets off the train. And there's a huge throng of people waiting for him. And all of a sudden he sees that the crowd starts to split. Mamish Kriyas Yamsuf, right through the middle. So he figures maybe there's some very important person on the other side who's making his way. Everyone's, you know, paving the way. So some other tzaddik could come to meet and shake hands at the Vizhnitz Rebbe, and all of a sudden he sees coming in his direction a Jew, an older person, very unkempt, looks very, very dirty, very ragged, hair grown wild, very large fellow, filthy, dirty, clothing torn. As he got closer, the terrible smell coming from his body made it clear why Kriyas Yamsuf took place before this Jew. And there the Avos Yisrael stood looking at this Jew. And Avos Yisrael, who again earned his name not because of this story, but certainly this story expresses very much the essence of who he was and his love of Jews. The Rebbe took this Jew, who he saw the embarrassment in his eye, years and years of embarrassment, of being rejected, of feeling unworthy, right? Of being seen as a person who was a lo yutzlach, never made it in this world. And he grabs onto this Jew, he takes this Jew, and he holds him in his arms, he pulls him close, and he starts to kiss him. And he kisses him. And he hugs him. And he says, ah, he grabs each part, he grabs his right arm. And he says, ah, a nachashtik yid. Another bit of a Jew. And he grabs him by the left arm, he hugs his left arm. And everyone else is like looking, you know, repulsed by this scene. What did the Vizhnitz Rebbe see in this Jew that he was able to do such a thing? When everyone else pulled back, the Vizhnitz Rebbe saw that this yid was a Sefer Torah. Let me ask you. Sefer Torah comes out of the Aron, and it's a little bit of, it's an older Torah, and it's a little bit worn, and the letters are not as, it's a kosher Torah, but it's not as, the letters are not as fine as they were when the Sofer wrote it many years ago, and the parchment has a little bit of a smell, and that Sefer Torah is passing by. You're not going to kiss that Torah? You're not going to stop to kiss such a Torah? It's a Torah, what do you mean? It's a Torah. So it has a little bit of a smell, it's a little bit old. It's not the most beautiful Torah that you ever saw in your life. But it's a Sefer Torah. So of course you're going to kiss the Sefer Torah. When the Avos Yisrael saw this Jew, he said, this is a Sefer Torah. This is a Jew. Ah, but he's just one letter. Yeah, but one letter, says the Sfas contains Kol Torah Kula. It is the entirety of Elukus as expressed in this world. Rav Moshe Leib Sasver, another great lover of the Jewish people. I saw in his Sefer, the Mishnas Ramal, Rav Moshe Leib. It says in the back under an entry for Avos Yisrael, listen to this line, listen to what he said. He said, a person who is not prepared to dirty their hands with the blood and boils of the poorest Jew hasn't even reached half of Avos Yisrael. That means if some schlepper comes to your door, you know, and you're really like not in the mood to deal with this person, but if you're not ready to dirty your hands, to literally change that person's clothing, to wash that person, to scrub the person down, with his holy hands, he literally bandaged broken and dirty Jews, or Moshe Leib Sasser, literally. With it was a tzaddik. He was one of the great tzaddikim of the generation. And yet, for a Jew, I'll do anything. I'll literally bandage broken and dirty Jews. Reb Mendel Rimanov said he saw in a dream that after Reb Moshe Leib Sasser passed away, he saw in a dream that Reb Moshe Leib Sasser refused. You can imagine the portion he had in the Olam HaEmes in Gan Eden. He refused to enter into his Gan Eden. He said, until I take all the Jews in Gehenna with me. Because a Jew in Gehenna, there's no such thing. It can't be. If a Jew is not in Gan Eden, then we're not looking deeply enough at this Jew. Then we're still too far from that star in the sky. And that's why it's not illuminated enough to us. That's how the tzaddikim looked at a Jew. And that's again how we have to look at ourselves, how we have to look at others. Again, whether you go on the Yachad program this summer or don't go on the Yachad program this summer, that's how we have to look at Jews. Regardless of what the Jew looks like, or whether I feel connected to this person, to be able to look at another Jew and to say, oh, a nachashtik yid, another letter yud, another letter of the Torah, the entirety of the Torah, the expression of Hashem in this world, to be able to say that and to mean it, to really mean it, believe Shalim. I want to connect to the Parsha. It's always good to try to connect an Indian to the Parsha. I want to connect our Indian tonight to the Parsha. In the Parsha, there's a very interesting machlokas that's taking place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. And it's an ongoing machlokas from last week's Parsha. Moshe is trying to negotiate, I want to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, just for a little bit, they should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. And Paro and Moshe are negotiating, who's going to go? Who's fitting to go? Who deserves to go? So the Pesukim described, the beginning of this week's Parsha, Bo El Paro, go to Paro, tell him what's about to happen. Yeah. Vayomer Moshe. Paro says to Moshe says to Paro, we're going to bring Arba upon you, and it's going to be like nothing you ever saw before. Vayifin Vayetzai Me'im Paro, and Moshe marches out of the room, and Paro's advisors say, listen, we have to start getting our act together, but Mitzrayim is about to be completely destroyed. So Paro calls back Moshe, Rashi says, Al Yidei Shliach, he calls him back, Moshe and I are understanding there, Paro says, let's renegotiate. I'm willing to consider letting you go. Tell me, who's going? Who would you like to take? Miva miha holchem. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, Vayomer Moshe, bin arenu vizkeinenu nelech, bivanenu vivnosenu bitzonenu vivkarenu nelech, ki chag Hashem lanu. We're taking everyone. We're taking the men, the women, the children, the animals. We're taking everyone and everything. Now, b'derech ha'pshat, again, there's a lot written amongst the Rishonim, the early Achronim. Paro says, I can see you're trying to sneak out of Mitzrayim. Why else would you want to take the children? Leave the children. The Chassam Sofer has a different way of learning the Sukkah. The Chassam Sofer, in a volume that was published in the 1960s, in the Chedushei Sugyos, in Sugya Ches, the Chassam Sofer says, what was the machlokas between Moshe and Paro? Listen to the words of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Ha-filosofim ha-rishonim. The great philosophers of the world felt that to be able to serve God, a person has to have a certain worthiness. A person has to be a certain type of person. A certain type of intellect a person has to have. And if I want to be successful in truly connecting deeply to God, to things that are beyond this world, that are above this world, says the Chassam Sofer, the philosophim harishonim nagu levrach el amaros. The early philosophers would escape to caves. They would run from the world. I can't be bothered by lowly people, by regular people. I need to seclude myself so I can work on myself, so I can develop my mind, so I can develop my spirit. Ulam Torah seinu akadosha goresis is a hepuch. But the Torah says the exact opposite. The Torah says that's not how it works. It's not that Torah is made for certain people. It's not that some Jews have really deep souls and other Jews are just schleppers. That's not how it works. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, who's going to serve? Paro said, what do you need everyone for? The men, the women, the children, the animals, what do you need so many people for? Just take your greatest scholars and go out into the wilderness and serve God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki adrab. Ikar avodas Hashem berabim. The ikar avodas Hashem, the essence of avodas Hashem, true avodas Hashem, real avodas Hashem, recognizes that every Jew is worthy. Like Rabbi Zin Machla said, you don't have to earn it. You have an neshama. You are an neshama, and therefore you're worthy. Moshe says to Paro, "L'chuna ha'gvarim, take just the men." No, absolutely not. Binareinu uvizkeinenu, our young Jews, our children. With their simple understanding of what it means to serve God, of course we're taking our children. Our old Jews, whose minds aren't as sharp as they once were, maybe a bit senile, but they have a neshama. Of course they're coming. Our animals are coming. Men, women, children, everyone's coming. Because to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ideal way, is not to say Yiddishkeit is only for a select few, that some Jews have an infinite value and other Jews unfortunately didn't make the cut. Moshe says every single Jew, young, old, man, woman, child, the animals of the Jewish people have value. Anything that's connected to a Jew in any way, shape, or form has an infinite value, has an unbelievable depth. And again, it's our job to recognize that depth. The children are coming, the children are coming, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Power says, the children are coming, what do you need the children for? A number of years ago, there was a machlokas that took place between a bus driver and a bus monitor in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. There was a machlokas, the old buses, before you would push a button and the door would pop open, and the buses had these very heavy metal doors that you had to swing open. So there was a bus driver, and there was a person who was assigned to watch over the children on the bus, and they had a machlokas. Whose responsibility is it to open the door? It was heavy, it was tiresome, it was cumbersome. So they were debating whose responsibility is it? The driver, is it part of his driving? Is part of his job is to swing open the door at each bus stop to let the children onto the bus on the way to school? Or maybe the bus monitor has to provide for the children. Maybe he should open the door. So they went to Rabbi Benzion Abba Shaul. Passed away in the 1990s, Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef. They went to Rabbi Benzion Abba Shaul, and they asked him, who's Din Torah? What's the halacha? Who has to open the door? So his first response to them was, oh, I see. So you're fighting over because each of you want to open the door, right? You think it's not fair that the other one should be... So immediately they were very embarrassed. And then he said to them, you're fighting over, you don't want to open the door to let these children onto the bus? Do you realize that when you swing open that door to let these children onto the bus on their way to learn Torah, do you realize that that's no less significant? Opening that heavy door is no less significant than psicha when you open up the Aron to take out the Sefer Torah? You should be fighting over it. You should be fighting over who gets the schus of letting a little kid onto the bus on his way to yeshiva. Because if you recognize a Jew as a chelek elokam imal, if you realize what the Medrash says, an astounding Medrash in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim to you, be holy, you should be holy, says the Medrash, Yachol Kamoni, maybe you'll say you have to be as holy as God Himself, concludes the pasuk, no, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm very holy, says God. Kedushasi lamal mi kedushasam. You don't have to be as holy as I am. Very holy, yes. You don't have to be as holy as God Himself. Says Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, says the Rebbe of Rizhin, Yachol Kamon, we really? The Medrash like wasn't sure? Yachol Kamon, oh, you might think you have to be as holy as God Himself. Nah, it's okay. You could be a little less holy than God. What kind of Havamina is that? How could the Medrash even entertain the thought to ask the question, Kedoshim to you, you need to be holy. Oh, maybe you need to be as holy as God Himself. The Rebbe of Rizhin said that every question that's posed by Chazal in a Medrash or a Gemara, even if it's rejected, has a deep truth to it. And therefore, the Rebbe of Rizhin said, Yachol Kamoni, don't read it as a question, read it as a statement. The Medrash is revealing to us a secret. Kedoshim to you. A Jew is unbelievably holy. Yachol Kamoni, yes! You could be as holy as God. Of course, the Medrash B'derech HaPshat goes on and says, well, you don't actually have to be as holy as God. But the Medrash first wants us to believe. Yachol Kamoni. Yachol Kamoni. Right? Yachol Kamoni. Yes, you can be as holy as God. He said, when the Medrash says, Talmud Lomar, you might think you need to be as holy as God. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, right? Talmud Lomar, the verse says, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Rebbe of Rizhin said, don't read it Talmud Lomar, rather read it Tilmud Lomar. Teach yourself to say, that I can, yes, Yachol Kamoni, train, say it over and over again to yourself, till you believe it. That yes, I am a neshama, and I have an infinite value, and I'm a walking Sefer Torah, even if I don't know a lot of Torah. And that every Jew is a chelek elokam imal. And every Jew, even that smelly, dirty Jew at the train station, nachash tekiyed, another bit of a Jew, deserves to be kissed, deserves to be cherished, deserves to be loved, deserves to be appreciated. Power, you don't get it. You think this is just for the intellectuals, for the elite, for the philosophers. Every single Jew is unbelievably deep. Mika Amcha Yisrael. Mika Amcha Yisrael. Yachol Kamoni. Yes, it's possible for a Jew to be like a Kaddish Baruch. I want to end with a very beautiful story I heard a number of years ago from Rabbi Eitan Feiner Shlita. He said there was a fellow from Eretz Yisrael. A fellow from Eretz Yisrael who was in America, was collecting tzedakah, someone who worked with the Zaka organization. Unfortunately, has to deal with sometimes some of the most tragic things in Eretz Yisrael. This fellow was collecting for Zaka. And he came to New York, and he didn't speak much English. He was going around, and he was trying to collect. He was here for a week or so. And he's on his way back to JFK Airport after his trip. somewhat successful trip. On his way back to the airport, he's driving his rental car. He's driving along, he's trying to catch his flight back to Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, he notices that his gas light is on. He hadn't noticed it. And his car is starting to slow down, and he mamish ran out of gas. Now that never happens. My gas light's on. I noticed my gas light on the way here. I'm going to get gas on the way home. I'm sure I'll be able to make it to Route 4 to get some gas to make it back to Bergenfield. Right? No one actually like, ever runs out of gas. This guy ran out of gas. This Jew, this Eretz Yisrael Jew, collecting tzedakah for Zaka, collecting money funds for Zaka, yeah, barely speaks English, breaks down somewhere like along the way to JFK. Now again, I don't know exactly where it was, but presumably on the side of the road somewhere late at night trying to catch a flight back to Eretz Yisrael. No cell phone, totally stranded. It was a bad situation. He wasn't quite sure what to do with himself. He says all of a sudden, he sees, as he's standing there outside of his car, all of a sudden he sees a car pull over. Well, he figures a Yid, you know, someone spotted me. Maybe she's a Yerushalmi looking Jew on the side of the road. All of a sudden he sees this fellow gets out of this car, this big car, this fellow gets out of this car. This tall African American looking fellow gets out and starts walking over to him. So, okay, a little surprised, taken aback. And the fellow says to him, he says, "You Jewish?" So he says, "Yeah." He says, "You happen to be from Israel?" So he says, "Yeah." You know, a little bit that he can understand. So he says, "Wait right here." He's very confused. The guy gets back in his car and drives off. He's standing there, he's waiting. Eretz Yisrael, the Jew, is still trying to figure out what he's going to do, what just happened, a very strange occurrence. He says, all of a sudden, 15, 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, he sees this guy pulling up again behind him. And he's carrying with him like a canister of gasoline. And he starts filling up the guy's car to help him get the rest of the way to the airport. He says to him, you know, broken English, "Thank you, like, what's, you know, like, why?" So he says to him, he says, "I'm from Haiti." He says, "A number of years ago, there was that terrible earthquake in Haiti." And he said, "It was all my people." He said, "It was all black people, it was all my people." He says, "It was none of your people." He says, "And there were people who came from around the world to help in the relief effort, to try to save, to try to rebuild, to take people out from under that terrible rubble." He said, "Of all the people who were there, and there were people, organizations, the Red Cross, you know, people from all around the world came to try to help with the relief effort." He said, there was no one who was as sensitive and as caring and as diligent, as willing to help as the Jews from Israel. And he said, "I said to myself right then," he said, "I had relatives." He said, "I flew." He said, "I was in America. I flew also to help with the relief effort, to see if my relatives were okay." He says, "And when I saw, and I couldn't understand, why do your people care about my people? With such sensitivity, with such care, with such devotion." He said, "I decided right then and there that Jewish people are different. And if I ever saw a Jew, especially a Jew from Israel, who needs help, I'm going to help that person." And here was this Zaka worker on the side of the road, on the way to JFK, in a broken down car with no cell phone. Right? And this fellow was able to look at him and in his own way say, "Mika Amcha Yisrael," the infinite value of every Jew. There's countless stories we could tell just like that about Mika Amcha Yisrael. So I want to give us a bracha. Again, in the spirit of Inyan Diyoma, this parsha, and in the spirit of the beautiful work that Yachad does to help Jews look at other Jews in the right way. Right? To be able to understand what it means to really look at a Jew and to appreciate what a Jew is. That a Jew is a piece of Torah. That a Jew is a chelek alokam imal. That a Jew has a nishmas chayim. That is blown into a person from the inner core of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like Rav Feinfeld said to Rav Amos Bunim, don't look at his ponytail. Don't look at his ripped jeans. Don't look at the things that don't express the Yiddishkeit. Right? Look at his neshama. Look at his essence. Realize that no matter how much you erase, it's still a Yud. It's still a Yid. It's still a Yid. And that letter says, Tzfasemesh, whose yard size tonight, Tzchuso Yigen Aleinu, contains within the kol the Torah kul, the infinite depth of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's wisdom. To say to Paro, that we're all going, every single one of us, man, woman, and child, young and old, even our animals are coming along. Mirtz Hashem, if we can learn to look at each other in that way, if we can see ourselves, if we can see one another in that way, if we can open up that bus, that heavy door for the school child, and not to say, "Yeah, you're just a little kid," but that child is a chelik elokam imal, if we can learn to look at every single Jew in this way, then Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to point to us and say, "Yachol Kamoni, Kedoshim to you, you were just like me." And in that source, we'll be zochet to see the Mashiach appear in a minute.